Welcome to the Women's Ministry Toolbox podcast. I'm Cindy Ellenby, your host and women's ministry mentor. I'm the founder of Women's Ministry Toolbox and the author of Rethinking Women's Ministry. The Women's Ministry Toolbox podcast is a podcast for women's ministry leaders and team members of all stages, from new to seasoned, serving in their local church community. If you're looking for hope and inspiration, you've come to the right place. In addition to discussing the nuts and bolts of women's ministry, I'll be asking seasoned women's ministry leaders to share their best tips and the lessons they've learned. Together, we'll learn to build a flourishing, Christ-focused women's ministry.
Ladies, I am so excited to introduce to you today Robin Gerke. She is a women's ministry leader in Oregon, and she has some great things to share with us today. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Robin, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about the church that you serve in?
Up until last Saturday, we were homeless. We've been homeless since COVID started. We were meeting in a high school, and then, of course, COVID hit. And we also live in Oregon, so our strictness here is a little higher than other places in the country. But as soon as the schools shut down, we were shut down from going in the schools. Even when the schools opened up, we weren't allowed to go in. So we were homeless. Very graciously, a sister church in the area allowed us to be with them for about 9 months, and we got to have Wednesday nights. In the course of that, though, Wednesday nights wasn't a good night for a lot of people, and we were just all starving for some connection. Last Saturday night, we met as a church, and it's going to be kind of our home base until it's not. What I mean by that is it's kind of like the cloud of God moved us there. Everywhere we were trying was shutting down. No, you can't be here. You can't be here. And they were like, arms out, please come, because it's a church. It's Sisters Community Church, and it has become an older church. They said, please, we want to get our church messy. We've got these beautiful kids' rooms. We want to see some dirt. We want to see some mess. We want the kids. Can we just offer you our place? And that is our home base for now, until the cloud of God moves us someplace else, or he just leaves us there. We're excited about that. It's a real blessing to be at that church. So
that is so neat. I love how God works. It moves us, even physically sometimes. Robin, why don't you tell us a little bit about the women's ministry in your church? How did you get started leading there?
When we first moved here, we were meeting in a high school, thriving women's ministry, amazing things happening, Bible studies, get-togethers, people going. Our women's minister was going to take like a month sabbatical or 2 month sabbatical, but then COVID hit. And she was with her family, and so she stayed with her family. The good thing is they had set up an interim to kind of cover for her while she was gone, just for needs of women and that kind of a thing. That lasted from January of 20 to March of 21.
Okay.
But this interim, precious, precious friend of mine was like, I love this, but I am not built for this. This is not my wheelhouse. And I just feel like I'm kind of out of my comfort zone, and not just comfort zone, just my abilities.
Right.
So she and our church administrator started meeting together and talking about, well, what do you think we need? And they came up with the idea of having teams. The process of the teams was to have someone in charge of Bible studies, someone in charge of discipleship and mentoring, someone in charge of hospitality, and someone in charge of just meeting practical needs. I have four leaders of four teams.
Okay.
On my team.
Gotcha.
So each leader has anywhere from one other person to two other people on that team with her. They make decisions for their area. So Rob is our administrative guy at our church. And he said, I need a quarterback. So I'm the quarterback. Yeah.
You don't hear that often in women's ministry,
no,
Robin.
No, you really don't. I'm not sure there is an equivalent in the other world, but so I'm the quarterback. And basically I go from team to him, and then I help him call plays.
I love it.
I personally was not initially asked for that position. They had other positions they were trying to fill. And the other ones were, they needed somebody for the practical needs. They needed somebody for hospitality. And I was like, those are not me. Okay. And she said, well, we also need a quarterback. And I was like, well, I can do that. But then 3 or 4 weeks later, I went, what did I say yes to? Diane, where am I in relation to you? Is it Rob, Diane, and then me, and then the team? What does that mean? And she said, Rob, you, and then the team. I went, oh. So I took on the job of women's ministry coordinator, and quite amazed that God would allow me that privilege of being that person. I had not gone into it thinking that that was it. I thought it was like, I'll hold a couple of meetings and blah, blah. And then, but no, it has turned into a little bit bigger than that kind of a thing. But when it comes to Bible study, I have so little to do with that. I just make sure, do you have what you need for Bible study? Our Bible study leader has written for our entire church a study of James. It's an amazing study of James. It was written for women, but we've had men's groups. Our youth are going to go through it. But the initial thing was just to write it. And then All the women's groups were going to do it. I'm able to be a part of it. I'm excited that this year I'm going through James. And she's an amazing author. And she just loves the word. Lisa May, if she could, would just eat, sleep, drink, and that's it. And it all be the word. She just loves the word so much. And it shows in how she's presented this study for us. So very excited about that. I don't have a lot to do with that other than to say, okay, do you need anything? Do you need coffee? Each entity has kind of things that they do, but we also have the global where we need all of us. So like our mentoring discipleship leader, her group, it'd be so neat if we could meet monthly where we have a speaker tell their story And they just come and we have some music, we have a devotional, we have refreshments, and you know, we just get together as women. And so we started in May. The refreshments were hospitality. Our practical needs person is a part of that. So if we have some meal train things, she's able to make announcements about that. If we have new babies, we get to know about that. Then we also have our mentoring discipleship person finds who we're going to do. Plus she has a music person under her who does our music. And then our Bible study person brings somebody for devotion. And I just kind of help where I can. I was kind of in charge of finding, okay, where we're going to meet. We have a TV screen. How are we going to get those words up there? So right. I kind of became techie, but I have a picture of my daughter last week. She's 13 and she's running my sound and my PowerPoints for the music. Cause I'm like, I just don't trust myself. She's just kind of come in to help me with my deficiency. Those kind of things are collaborative. We come together and we work, but they may have things they do independently. Our practical needs people definitely make sure that meal train is moving. One of the people on our practical needs is a store owner. She has the ability to use her accounts to purchase things for us. So she and the two women and I have worked together and we have made these amazing baskets for our moms who've just given birth. So it has this beautiful Bible that you can also write in your reflections. It has like a teething toy. It has a little snuggy bunny. It has a onesie that says, Jesus loves you. He told me so. And it has our vast logo on one of the sleeves.
Oh,
it's just a precious gift we can give to this mama.
Right.
We have a local tea shop. It even has like a gift card in there. And just what a blessing to be able to do that. And, you know, all of that I realize costs money, but Vast Church is a generous church. And even though we didn't have a building and even though we were going through COVID, the Lord blessed us so much financially with the people in our church, and we've been able to be generous. So it's just been kind of a fun thing. And then our hospitality lady is kind of in charge of getting bunkos set up and bunko parties just for fun, you know, because you need that. And so we're kind of in full swing right now. A couple hours ago, we had something called Fika Fun, F-I-K-A. If you ever come to Sisters, there's a coffee house called Fika run by a precious Christian lady. Okay. And it's called Fika Fun. It's for any woman to come at 8:15 until whenever and just connect, because we just haven't had that. One of our problems and desires at the same time was we didn't have our younger women involved. You know, they all look like me, right?
Right.
And so one of the big hopes when we started this back in March, our biggest prayer was, Lord, help us to connect with moms.
Yeah.
Moms of young kids, moms of any age, but just help us to get some of the life back, because everybody kind of just hunkered down and isolated, and it was so difficult. We're just trying to draw people out. If you're not into Bible study, come to Fika. If you're not into Fika, there is a mentoring thing. We have so many women that are just called to just mentor some of our younger ladies. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's flourishing. We have probably 120 to 30 women who I would say are in our church.
Okay.
From the ages of 20 up, single, married, widowed, whatever. 60 of them are involved in our Bible study.
That's which is, huge, Robin.
That is huge. It wow. is really amazing. And then to think we have men going through it and the youth going through it, it's a point of conversation almost anywhere you go. We're all so hungry just to be together. So we have 3 Bible study times, which they decided on. And 2 of them are in the mornings from like 9 to 11, somewhere in there. And then one's on Thursday evening for anybody who's can't come in those morning hours. The one I'm in has 23. And it's just amazing. Now, that one also has the option to Zoom in. So it could even grow bigger, because we do have women who are not able to just meet in groups. And because COVID has finally hit Central Oregon and it's beginning to hit us kind of hard right now, God is doing some amazing things here.
It sounds like it. Oh my goodness. There's so many good things you shared with us. I love that you're not in the weeds on everything, so that your team leaders are the ones making a lot of the decisions, doing the work. You don't have your hand that deep into Bible studies or hospitality. You're there to support and to encourage and to help when they need help. There's a trust factor there too.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't always see in all churches and in all women's ministry groups. I know I'm a control freak. And I struggle with that. And so sometimes I want to control things and have my hand a little deeper in it than I probably should. And, we just need to let people serve in their giftings. We can reach out and connect and say, you know, how's it going? Do you need anything? Right. But I love that you kind of just let them fly with it. That's great.
Well, that is not me to just be that way. Okay. This past year, if I can just share with you a little bit about where God took me. I won't give many details, but you know, it took a very difficult situation with a family member for me to recognize that my control was kind of out of control. Mm-hmm. And it took, first of all, me recognizing some things about my past. I grew up in a family of brothers, and I was the girl, and I was the princess, and I was the good one sometimes. Some of my brothers made it really easy to be the good one. But when you grow up like that, you tend to think that you're different from everybody, and that you kind of put yourself as your own God, and you don't put your God as your God. My decisions were good decisions, and they were perfect decisions. And that is not true. Mm-hmm. And so when this situation happened, first off, I had to learn something about myself that I didn't want to learn about myself, that I am not the perfect person I had originally thought I was from childhood, right? Uh-huh. And then as an adult, I certainly wasn't. And my way isn't always the correct way. My way is most of the time just my way, you know, and so had to come to a reconciliation with that and realize that I am a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Right. And I had to realize I'm not the smartest one in the room. And I had to realize that, you know, though I do have good ideas, it doesn't mean I have the best one, and it doesn't mean it's time to share it. So sometimes there's a lot of tongue control, biting that tongue when you want to say something and just letting them fly with their ideas. You know, I'm okay with that. Now, so God really had to do some real humbling on me. Well, guess what? You have to practice humbling, just like you have to practice patience. So, you know, when my prayer started being, Father, I thank you for humbling me. Thank you for that. Help me to see that. Guess what? He doesn't say, oh, you got this. You know, he says, okay, let's practice. So I got to practice it for several months in my family. And then this opportunity to become, see, now here's the weird thing. He's putting me in charge of a bunch of women. And I'm like, Father, why would you do that? Why would you give me this? And he's like, you are ready to practice it in a different role. You're ready to practice it in guiding women and other people. You still always have your family that is always going to be your practice place, but I'm ready for you to practice in front of others. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So a big prayer of mine is that humble spirit, you know, he wants a humble heart more than he wants anything I can give him.
Very true.
Right. God has allowed me the privilege of being the women's ministry coordinator. And that it is, it's a privilege. It's not my position. It's his privilege for me. So that has made a big difference in how I serve, because I just know I don't deserve to be here. I've been given permission to be here, and that permission can stop. This is where he wants me. And there is something about being in the center of God's will. And you know, I don't say that in a prideful way. I just can't imagine why God would put me here after what he allowed me to go through with my family member. Oh. And yet this is where he's placed me. So there you go.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm sure that is resonating with some of the leaders that are listening. There's so many times that we learn a lesson in life that carries over into ministry. Mm-hmm. And God was refining you in preparation for your calling and the place he was taking you next. So how sweet is it that you see that you recognize it? Because sometimes I think we don't always figure that out right away.
Yeah.
So I love that he was really clear. Like, I'm preparing you. This is where we're going next, Robin. You're going to need this skill.
I know. That's and sweet. You know what? He is continually humbling me in front of these people. The very first time I shared was at one of our refresh meetings once a month. It's so funny because this was like, oh Lord, I don't want it to be about me. Uh-huh. And my husband said, Robin, I am praying that it doesn't go the way you want it to go in some way.
Oh, wait a minute.
So here's what happened. So it's the first time for our women to meet as a group. Okay. I realize I'm like 5 minutes from my church, but I'm about 15 minutes from my home and I need to be there. I haven't put any makeup on. And I'm like, really? Really? So I, you know, I get out, I do have lipstick. So I'm like pretending with lipstick. Okay. Yeah. I got lips and I got cheeks. I don't have any eyes, but that's okay. You know, there's no eyelashes, but once again, there's that humbling part. Uh-huh. This isn't about you. This is about me. So then I get up and I'm going to talk and I have my papers and I have everything I'm going to say. And I have contacts. I have one that's for distance and I have one that's for reading.
Okay.
And my reading one gets stuck in the corner and I literally cannot get it to move.
Oh.
And so I told him, my husband prayed that not everything would go right because the thing I'm going to talk to you about is a humble spirit. And here I am. I can't even read the things. I said, now I know that I can tell you what it is because it is about me. It's not like I wrote it about my good friend over here. It's about me. Oh my goodness. You know, it was kind of like once again being taken out of the position for it to be about me and everything I wanted to say. It had to be what God wanted to say.
Wow.
You know, it was just, you know, it was laughable. And literally after it was over, I just went to the corner and went like this and it was back. And I was like, really? I think God has a great sense of humor. God is constantly doing weird things like that to me. And it centers me to know that I'm a human. And now it's kind of becoming a little laughable because, I mean, the things that are happening, you better be able to laugh about it or you're just going to cry.
Well, I was just thinking, sometimes those are the two choices. It's
laugh or cry.
Cry about this, or we can learn to laugh about it.
Yeah.
And we had a youth pastor that used to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. And I love that. And it's just a constant reminder that we need to be flexible. We need to be flexible and open to what God is doing. So Robin, we've been currently talking about discipleship on the Women's Ministry podcast. Can you tell us how your women's ministry team approaches discipleship in your church?
Well, I know that sharing God's word is important. One of our church values is to know God deeply in his word. And so it is very important to us as a women's ministry that that is a big part of what we do. I think that it's kind of twofold in how we do it. In our mentoring, we have some women working together with younger women one-on-one through Bible study, just getting into the word, knowing what it is. And then just growing together as a group of women is another form of discipleship that we have. And three times a week, it's available to them. And we have so many women who are involved. Another cool thing with our Bible study is the way that it was written. It was written with all women in mind. It's written for those who want to have one-on-one. Two women can get the Bible study and go and work on it. It can be done in smaller groups. So that's another venue. It can be done in the group setting, like it is done as Bible study. Now, the cool thing about the Bible study itself is, say you're a mom and you've got three kids at home, when are you going to find time to do four pages of, you know, looking up and all of this? The first part of this study is strictly the bare roots, getting into the word of James. So like if we're just doing James 1 through 7, that first page is just getting that part. Okay. Now, if a mom can get to that part, that's all we really need because they can still come and glean from everything else. And we do end up going through all of it and they can write down and take notes. The rest of it is going deeper. It's like, let's look at this. The word studies. Let's look at cross-reference. Then at the end of each lesson, there's an activity. So it's an activity you can do by yourself. It's an activity you can do as a group. It might be going for a nature walk. There are all these different activities in that. So maybe you learn best by doing an activity. There's so many different ways to do this study, and it meets the needs of the mom who's exhausted with three kids at home. Right. She only has like five questions, but she's still able to come and be a full part of it.
Yeah.
And for the one that can learn best by doing something with my hands, well, she gets the idea by doing something with her hands. So, you know, it's just an amazing way of learning and having discipleship. And I feel like we're really working to get all different ways and trying to reach every woman's.
Thank you. That's so helpful. And it's, I'm sure, giving leaders listening lots of ideas on ways that maybe they can do the same thing in their church too. So what, Robin, is your very favorite thing about serving in women's ministry?
The ladies. So my favorite part about women's ministry is just the one-on-one. I just absolutely love it. Sometimes it's just a text because we have a few that have had COVID and just texting them, how are you doing? Is there anything I can bring you? You know, do you have taste and smell? Do you want some food? Do you just want prayer? It might be a phone call. It might be, hey, you want to meet me at the local coffee shop and let's just spend an hour together. How can we pray for you? How can I pray for you? What do you need? You know, just, and tell me about you. Tell me your story. I just love hearing about these women and their story. Mm. And, you know, when I first started in March, sadly, I think I knew probably about 15 women. Out of my 120. And now I can go to refresh and I know almost all of them. And I'm working to get one-on-one times with each of them. But it's just kind of cool to go, hey, let's connect. I don't know you and I'd like to hear your story. It's such a precious thing about this is just getting to know the ladies.
Oh, I love your heart for relationship building. That is so sweet. And I can imagine how special those women feel when you reach out and you're like, hey, I'd love to grab coffee and just hear your story and get to know you better. I mean, how many of us just want to be seen and known? A lot of our ladies feel like nobody sees them. Nobody knows their story. Oh, I love it. Love it. Yeah. Robin, what advice would you have for someone who is new in women's ministry?
I think from my perspective, recognizing that we all come with a variety of gifts and you have a gift, you have something that God has called you to do, right? But he may have called other women in your group who also have gifts. And so I think building relationships with those women, finding out what are they really good at, and then encouraging that, not thinking that you're going to have the better answer just because you've got the title.
Right.
I feel like God has blessed me with an amazing team. He's blessed me with brilliant minds that it doesn't have to weigh on me. And no. God is the focal point. And I think trying to keep God at the center of it and not each activity at the center of it. One thing that you told us during our women's ministry makeover was don't just make it about the event. You know, the event is fun, but it's short, you know, like an event's 2 hours, but your women are there all the time. And outside of that event, they're still there and they're still struggling or they're still just fine, but they're still there. And so it's kind of looking past the event and not just thinking, women's ministry is about event, 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 event. Uh-huh. No, it's about that woman who's sitting alone. It's about that woman who is going through a hard time and just needs a hug. It's about that woman. And stop putting the events as your priority, but your women as the priority. And if there's a woman that's not coming because they don't feel welcome, I think it's important that you go find out. I think it's important that we step out and we, as ministers, I mean, God has called us to this, right? I uh-huh. hope that no one who's listening has just taken it on and I'm going to just do this, but God has called us to do this. And in that calling, he's asking you to shepherd these women and check in on them. And this is a perfect time because our country is, well, our world is in such disarray. Mm-hmm. And there are hurting people. There's that song, and I don't even know who sings it. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. I think we would just see if we had God's eyes for just 1 second, I think we wouldn't be able to handle it because there's so much need out there. And yeah. that need is in our church family. And so the advice would be take your focus off of just events. Those are important because that's where you gather. Right? We need to connect, but then focus on those women between those gatherings, because that's where you're going to get to know them and they're going to want to connect. It may take phone calls. It may take it one-on-one texts. It may take coffee. I like that.
Yes. Some people, coffee is their thing and that's lots of fun.
Or tea. I like that too.
Or tea. Definitely.
Or pastries.
Or chocolate, maybe.
Chocolate. I wanted to just say thank you to you, Cindy. I remember typing in one night it was like in March, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to have my very first team meeting. And our focus is trying to get our young ones back in, because all us old gals were like totally involved, but those moms and younger ones were not. And they were starving. I know, because they were having to homeschool and they weren't built for homeschool. Everything was just so difficult. And I remember I went to your webpage and I came across an article about how to draw younger women into the women's ministry. And that was my first take on what you were and what the Women's Ministry Toolbox was all about. It was looking through your articles and seeing those things and how they could enrich what we were wanting to do already. In our very first meeting, I passed out your article. I printed it off and passed it to my ladies, and they all were like, yes, this is what we need. Oh. And they worked to get a young woman on their teams. And it has been so nice. I've gone to you for icebreakers. This summer, I was like, I should do some sort of training. And I just typed it in. And once again, you came up. And I was like, oh, and it's starting like next week. So I went, okay. And I talked to my administrator. He said, go for it. So all that is to say, thank you, Cindy, because you have been an integral part of where we are going. And, you know, I didn't have to do a makeover. I had to do a build. Right. So an original build. We're rebuilding so much, and it's, you know, it's in process. Okay, well, that didn't go. So let's try this. You know, it's that type of thing. I just appreciate you so much. I appreciate your leadership and you're putting it out there. And now I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of this. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. This has been so good. I know that I've learned things and I've gotten ideas just listening to you share today. And I know that other leaders have too. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It's been great to have you.
Thank you. I've loved being here, Cindy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women's Ministry Toolbox podcast. Leading in women's ministry can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. You'll find support and ideas you can use in the Women's Ministry Toolbox community Facebook group. We'd love for you to join us. Search for us on Facebook or visit womensministrytoolbox.com/groups to access the link. May the grace of God carry you through difficult ministry seasons. May He direct your steps as you seek to make Him known. And may your love for the Lord be apparent to every woman you serve.